Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cuts Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cuts Corner, brought to you by iWatch. And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome back to Coach Cuts Corner. Today in the studio, I'll have one of my co-hosts, Elijah Boyer, and also special guest in the pride of the Comets, Wyatt Rush. We will chapter his journey from Little League All-Star to Junior College All-American to throwing over 100 innings at Michigan State University. Wyatt was a first-team All-State and Dream Team member at Grand Ledge High School before heading to LCC, where he holds a place in the Stars' record books, ranking in the top five in wins, innings pitched, and strikeouts. Wyatt hung up his cleats after this spring season with the Spartans, and today he's still finding ways to be active in the game. Today you will hear our full interview. We welcome him back to LCC, and we will dive deep, as life is just too short for small talk. So here we go. Heavy hitters out of the gate. You played for a pretty legendary high school coach.
Sure did.
Coach O'Keefe won over 1,300 games in 51 years. Good for about 25 wins per season. Not bad for high school baseball. Pretty solid stuff. What stands out during your time at Grand Ledge?
One of the things that I just appreciated most about Coach O'Keefe was his ability to kind of differentiate his personality from one side of the white line to the other. If you were off the field, I mean, he was like everybody's grandpa. You could come talk to him about anything. First guy to pick you up if you fell down. Just a super, super supportive man and a real positive influence in my life. But then when you cross that white line onto the field, it is a whole different ballgame with him. I mean, it's showtime, and he means business 110% of the time. And if you screw something up, he's going to let you know about it in a couple of colorful ways. But you kind of learn the first couple of times he jumped on you, you're scared, real scared. I mean, you got no idea what's going to happen next, but you work through a couple of them and start to understand that you need to listen to what he's saying and not how he's saying it. And you kind of get the feel that, you know, he's coming at you like that because he knows that you can be great. And if he wasn't yelling at you, then he had given up on you. And so he just pushed us as hard as he could every single day to be the best baseball players that we could be. And I am forever, forever grateful to have been able to play for him for 4 years.
Well, obviously you had quite a bit of success, and most of the people that have success, they buy into that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm being taught something here. I need to understand it. I need to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. The people that tend to not have success are the ones that just don't understand it. They think they're just getting picked on or whatever it might be, and the victim card somewhat comes up. What was your college recruiting like coming out of high school? Because, you know, I'm somewhat of a transplant to the area, but I know that Grand Ledge has a really storied history with high school baseball, and I think the Capitals, you know, the Diamond Classic that's played at Muni and at Michigan State as well. I know Grand Ledge is, you know, won that a lot. And I mean, a lot. So it shows like they've been pretty strong. What was your college recruiting like coming out of high school? And was it what you expected it should have been?
Out of high school, it was really, really slow. I had my first visit the summer after my sophomore year of high school. Had a really good day playing third base over at Northwood.
You were quite the hitter, I heard.
Yeah, I could bang it a little bit.
As with most pitchers.
There you go.
But, so I had a really good day at the dish, playing in the Gabby Mills tournament over the 4th of July for Capital City Kings, and ended up scoring a visit with Wayne State University. Okay. And went down on my first visit and kind of fell in love with that experience, and sat with my dad in the car on the way back home and was like, you know what? I think I'm done with high school basketball, and I just want to chase this. Like, this is what I want. And so I ended up giving up high school basketball and just chased the baseball dream through the winter, and got into my junior year, had a good junior year, not great junior year, but got better. And recruiting kind of tapered off. The guy who liked me at Wayne State moved on to Xavier University. And so everything quieted down. Nothing through the summer. Going into my senior year, had a great spring. Was an all-stater, all-state dream team. Went into the summer, played well again. Had some coaches sniffing around a little bit. Drew Heward, who was here at Lansing at the time, was all over me. But I was kind of like poo-pooing the JUCO thing.
Too big, yeah.
Yep. And then Kellogg Community College reached out, had a visit with Coach Lescovy, had a great conversation with him. And the way that he kind of described how junior college ball works really opened my eyes to it and kind of made me reconsider my previous notions about it. I had a visit with Grand Valley State University, got a 20% offer, felt like they lowballed me. And then the one that really hung me up was a two-way walk-on, preferred walk-on offer to Western Michigan. And with growing up, hitting with Joe McDonald, who's an alumni of their baseball program, I kind of thought that was really cool. And that one hung me up for a while. Was hoping for some money. A couple conversations later over the phone with their recruiting coordinator down there. Wasn't coming. Not yet. And so eventually I kind of sat there and was like, all right, well, I don't know that I want to move to Battle Creek. I don't know. I think I deserve some money at a Division I school. I definitely deserve more money at a Division II school. So had another conversation with my dad and decided that I was going to gamble on myself and take a spot at Lansing Community College. And that turned out to be the best decision I ever made.
Yeah, and that's what happens when you go JUCO is you do have to bet on yourself. And mm-hmm. That's not just for baseball. It's for football, basketball, you know, any of the sports. You somewhat got to bet on yourself. It's usually junior college sports are not the first option or the first thought that you have as a freshman in high school if you know that you want to play college sports.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but then if you look at the landscape, especially today, even where the landscape is and how valuable it is for kids to go the junior college route, you know, it's just so different, especially with the portal. The portal's really changed everything for high school recruiting. It's changed it significantly. But I want to talk about LCC a little bit. You come in. So, you know, you had some Division I offers, you had some Division II offers, you decide to stay fairly close to home, you come into Lansing, you have an incredible first year. Do you think you were going to be a one and done kid when you came in here, or were you like, I'm here for two?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, I mean, going into that first fall, it was a learning curve. I got tattooed all fall long. I mean, I'm sitting there just getting numbers dropped on me in our fall inner squads.
And you were throwing how hard at that point?
82 to 84. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there going, holy smokes, these guys are way better than I thought they were going to be. Right. I couldn't get anybody out. And that frustrated me and kind of put a little gasoline on the fire. And I sat down in my apartment one day out at Chandler Crossings and was just like, you know what? I'm not one of the best right now, but I'm going to work harder than everybody out here. And just from that point, kind of put my nose down, did as much as I could in practice and in our lifts, and then would go and lift again in the evening, and struggled to put weight on, but did the best I could. Got really explosive through team workouts with Nate Schaefer. Yeah, just got more athletic, more explosive, stronger, more confident. Did everything I could throwing wise at practice, and then slowly started climbing the ladder little by little, one rung at a time. And in the winter, bumped up to like 85, 86 and just kept grinding. Went down to Florida, all of a sudden jumped up to 90 for the first time in my career. And it was like, I didn't believe the guy when he came back and told me I bumped to 90 in my outing. It was a relief outing, just blew it out. And
where was your belief system levels at that point when you heard you were touching 90?
At that point, I was like, dang, I can do this thing. Mm-hmm. Like I can do everything that I thought I could do. Again, that just put more gasoline on the fire. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm already here. I might as well just keep on digging. And went and had a great rest of my spring, All-American spring. Got hooked up with a phenomenal opportunity to go play summer ball in the Cal Ripken League out in the Virginia, Maryland area. Again, got my eyes opened that I wasn't good enough. We had a kid on our roster. His name was Jolon Lunzao. He's a 16-year-old, 5'9", 145-pound right-hander out of Beijing. Graduated high school early to come play with us. And so he's out there throwing around and looks good. Goes out for his first outing. Pitching coach sends me back there and is like, hey, get a couple of reads on these. So I'm sitting back there. First one in his warmups comes in at 93. I'm looking over at the dugout like, come on, come on.
No way.
He looks back at me and he's like, yeah, that's right. Next one, 94, 95, 96. I'm like, holy smokes, dude. I thought I had the good stuff. Where are we getting this kid from?
Oh, yeah.
And so he goes on. He was with our team for like 3 weeks, gets signed by the Brewers, and the rest is history for him. But again, just to like, you ain't there yet, man. You're not there yet. So just lucky to have so many experiences to kind of keep myself working hard and keeping my nose down, keeping my head down, and just plug away, plug away, plug away, because you're never good enough. I mean, even the guys at the top are still as hungry as it gets. So you're never there.
Yeah.
Never good enough, certainly. So LCC, good first year, second year, you get hurt. You've got some arm issues, broken stuff, a lot of things going on. You end up at Michigan State, which is semi-impressive considering that you were hurt and a lot of things going on. You walk in the door to McLean Stadium, and what are you thinking at that point, you know?
Well, I mean, growing up 15 minutes down the road from Michigan State, mm-hmm. I've been bleeding green since I was a little kid. Been to, I couldn't even tell you how many football games, basketball yeah. games. I mean, just grew up in Spartan Stadium, grew up in the Breslin Center. And so Michigan State was always my dream school. When my recruiting really blew up after my freshman year, I was lofting a little bit higher in baseball. I mean, I was getting some big phone calls that were really intriguing. But Coach Boss kind of stuck with me the whole way through the injury, which I'm eternally grateful for. And I got to play baseball at my dream school. So the first couple of practices of the fall, I'm walking out on the field and like looking down at my shirt and making sure it's still green and white. And then it still says, mm-hmm. I still got my number on. It's mm-hmm. like yeah. kind of pinching myself because I yeah. feel like I'm dreaming. And then again, you hit another learning curve because all the guys at Lansing were great. All the guys here are better. And it's just each level that you keep climbing, they get better and better and better. So again, kind of found myself frustrated, struggling, trying to rehab from this injury, but had a great support system all the way through. Strength coach, Molly Munns, all of our athletic trainers who we kind of had a come and go type of thing with athletic trainers for a few years, but just a great support staff there at Michigan State who helped me rehab, helped me get healthy, helped build my confidence back up, and then got back on my horse and started chasing it again. So
what does it look like from the inside in a Big Ten baseball school? Because baseball is a non-revenue sport.
Right.
What comes to your head when I say that with the experiences that you had?
Yeah, you know, it is difficult. And as a student athlete, you kind of look around, especially at a Big Ten school, you go into the basketball facility and it's like, this place is the Mecca. And then you go into...
Or the amount of people at the football game or something,
sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely. Right? All of those things. It's like, well, okay, we're clearly not top dog here. And so at first you're kind of like, well, what the heck? Why can't we have the $7 million weight room? And why can't we get new shirts every other day? And then as you start getting into the grind of it, you just kind of understand like, yeah, those guys are bringing in a boatload of cash every time they roll out on the field or roll out on the court. And that is the way it is. Yeah. But being a community college guy, you have that kind of grit to you where it's like, I don't need the flashy stuff. I just need a glove, a ball, and some dirt to run around on. That's all I need.
Right.
And
it's the beauty of the game.
Absolutely. And all you need is the game. So once you can kind of get past all the flashing lights and the brand new shoes. I mean, don't get me wrong. We got spoiled at Michigan State as a baseball program. You get spoiled. But
there's always something better, though.
There's always something better. But yeah, yeah. once you kind of realize that the game is still the game, and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether you're wearing brand new white Nikes or whatever you got on. You just go play harder than somebody and you're gonna find a way to win.
Life is more about the experiences than the things. So
absolutely,
you know, it is what you make of it. I kind of drop quotes all the time. Some of them I just make up, would take some words, grind them together, you know, throw some things together for a, you know, a period, a thought, a speech. And when I say something like, you know, to you guys, I want you to kind of comment on it a little bit. And when I say something like winning is a choice, Coach Boyer, what do you think of when I say winning is a choice?
I think of every day when you say that, like winning is a choice. It just sounds like the choices that we make every day. And that's really what it brings me back to. You know, every day I wake up, see the guys in the weight room. It's like you can kind of see guys choosing every day. And like, you know, you see Drew in there, and it's like every single day he chooses to win. And it's just like the more and more of those guys you see, just like your story, you know, like every place you went, you could have chose to just kind of fold. And like everywhere you went, you said, all right, I'm not good enough. What do I got to do to get there? And then he just kept making that choice year after year. And if you wouldn't have done that, the story is probably different. So that's what comes to my mind.
That is part of it, because for every story of a person that responds to a coach that might be a little, have higher standards or be a little bit tougher on them, that responds in a positive way, there's stories of people that don't respond as well, you know, and so that's a piece of that winning as a choice. And you know, how you know, just getting up in the morning, what do you think of when I say winning as a choice?
Well, I was sitting in the Gannon ramp waiting for Coach Boyer to come down and grab me. There was a quote on one of the TVs and it said, the only difference between winners and losers is that winners choose every single day to do the things that losers don't like to do. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly it. I mean, pretty much exactly what you just said, but you got a choice to make every single day that you wake up, and it's either I'm going to do everything that I know that I have to do to have success, or you can lay in bed and eat Cheetos. I mean, it's a decision. Wake up, rise and grind, or kind of slack off and let somebody pass you. So, yeah. It is absolutely a conscious decision. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's your career. I mean, you can get the best coaches put in front of you. You can get the best equipment put in front of you. You can have access to all the programs in the world. All of those people and those programs can show you the way, but nobody's going to do the work for you if you don't put in the time and you don't put in the effort. You can't expect yourself to have the results that you want. That's just not how it works in anything that you do.
Yeah, I think successful people tend to move with that mindset. They're not entitled to anything, and they're willing to work for basically everything. And that's what successful people look like. You know, as your time came to an end, and I do want to get into that a little bit, but you've transitioned, you're still in the game, you're coaching a travel baseball team, you are a floor trainer at the Capital City Kingdom, so you're working with younger baseball players that have dreams as well.
Yep.
What's that transition been like for you?
It was kind of difficult at first. I've been playing baseball since I was something like 5-6 years old, and you do that every single day. You become obsessed with it. It's your life. I mean, you're living it. And so all of a sudden one day you wake up and that's gone. There's not a practice for you to go to. You don't have a game today. You don't have a team lift. And so you kind of look around and you're like, well, what do I do with all this time? And so that transition was the most difficult part, but being able to come into the Kingdom every day and be on the floor with guys who share the same sort of hunger, it's a lot of fun, you know, being able to take all the experiences that I've had and all the guys that I've played with and coaches that I've played for, taking little pieces that I liked from every single one of those guys and being able to kind of mash it up and make it my own with the arm care program and just what I do with private lessons has been a really, really cool experience to pass that stuff on.
You're coaching now. Do you see that as something that you might tend to continue trying to stay in the game one way, shape or form as life continues to move on?
Yeah, you know, that I'm kind of at a crossroads with that right now. I had some opportunities to go be a graduate assistant at some college baseball programs and sat and chewed on it for a little bit and decided that wasn't really the path that I want to go down. It's not for everybody. I mean, I give so much credit to you guys and everybody who does do it, because it's not easy. And it's a lot of hard work and for not a whole lot of glory. And sometimes you go years and years and years without having any success, and there's so many uncontrollables, but you got to keep showing up for yourself and the team and the kids. So I made the decision that I didn't think that was really for me, but I wanted to stay and do the floor training stuff for a little while and just kind of keep feeling it out. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, is just feeling it out. So I'm at a point right now where I don't know where the next step is going to be or what the next phase of life is going to look like for me. And there's some uncertainty and some anxiety with that, but also a lot of excitement.
I think that's a good spot to be, where you don't necessarily have that certainty. You're just kind of trying to figure out what's next. And if you can remove the anxiety piece of it and know, like, it's fine. I mean, you could be in a lot worse situation. You could be, you know, 60 years old, still trying to figure it out. You're not. You're fresh out of college. You're in a great spot. Your brain isn't even fully formed yet. So, right. You know, I mean, you got some time. It's fine. You know, it's more about like legitimately for, you know, what I teach and what I believe, it is more about those experiences over those things. It's not about buying that house or having that sweet, you know, riding lawnmower or the best car. I mean, it's important to have a good car that can get you from point A to point B, but it doesn't have to be the social media car that everybody's showing off, right?
Right.
You don't need all those things, but what you do need is experiences, right? And you got to find something that you're doing that you can be passionate about and that you can get those experiences from, because those are the things that are truly going to matter when it's all said and done.
Absolutely.
You know, and I look at you, and I've worked with a lot of athletes over the years, and in some of those transition phases of taking off the cleats, you know, one final time, and it's pretty tough because, I mean, you hit on it a little bit today. It's a part of your identity. It's what you've always done. You know, you've had some piece of something that you needed to work for, or look forward to for this tournament or that game or this season or, you know, whatever it might be. And then all of a sudden it just kind of shuts off and you're trying to like, what the heck is going on? And who am I? And, you know, you can only watch so many videos of what you used to do, you
right.
know?
Right.
And yeah. So it's a wild transition. And I know you've experienced some of that too, because you know, you're in Coach Boyer, you're into coaching and everything, you know, and you had to turn some of that off. So you want to speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, I was going to say that reminds me of myself when I got done. I mean, I played 6 years because of a true red shirt and then COVID, but so I can't, I yeah.
He did as well. So
oh, yep. Yeah, so you're 6'2"? Yeah. Oh, yep. There you go. Just okay.
Normal, I guess.
Yeah, so you're 26, 25?
24. Oh, 24.
Well, okay, yeah, he's got one more year and then that brain's done developing, right? Is that 25? Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I got done around the exact same time. I think I was 25 because I'm really old for my grade. But I got done, did a little bit of nuclear engineering, and it was like I didn't even know that's like I wanted to do that. I was just good at math. I love numbers. I love making things make sense. So I was like, okay, I'll go try it. Kind of like how you just like made that decision to be a floor trainer, right? You're like, I love this. I want to figure it out. Curious. There's some passion, right? And so like you just go and try them. That's how I thought about it. I was like, I'll just go try this and see if I like it. So went and tried that and did that for about a year and a half. And, you know, I loved the people. There was nothing wrong with it. But when you say like the winning is a choice thing, that feels like living to me. Like when we talk about stuff like that, every bit of my fiber, like it just comes alive.
Right.
You know, it's like what I right. want to do.
Right.
And sitting at a cubicle every day
isn't for you.
Felt like losing yeah. every day.
Yep.
And I wasn't. I was, you know, I had, you called it glory. I was making more glory. And it was like people were telling me I should feel good about myself. Like, you know, you got a good job. You got all this. But like just woke up every day and I wasn't chasing anything. So I was like, how do I mix my passion and my brain and, you know, got into the biomechanics and all the stuff that you're doing, you know, with the numbers and opportunity at Driveline. And like he said, experiences, you meet people and now I'm here and it just kind of kept going. But I think the biggest part is, like you said, where you're at right now, just got to try things,
yep.
got to try them and just go take those chances and you'll eventually fall somewhere. Cause like he said, you know, it's not like you're 60.
So right.
The anxiety piece hopefully can be a little relieved by just like, I'm young right now.
Yeah.
You know, like there is time to try it. I'd rather try now than be 50 and then you realize you just kind of sold, you know?
Yep. So yep. No, absolutely.
It's a lot of good stuff.
For sure. And the pressure comes from other people as well. It's not just an internal pressure, it's an external pressure. And you got to kind of block out that noise a little bit, because the end of the day, people want what's best for you, but they do not want you to do better than them as well. And so you got to kind of block that noise out as well. And I'm certain just with your mindset and the things that you've been able to figure out along the way, whether it was in high school or college, those things that helped you be successful then are going to help you be successful down the road. And so it's not really worrying about too much of what's next, but enjoying what's present right now. And really appreciate having you guys on. We're going to wrap it up, but I appreciate you being here and I appreciate all of our listeners. And until next time, thank you to Coach Boyer and Wyatt for joining me today in the WLNZ studios. Stay humble, stay hungry, go stop. Coach Cut's Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalian Lowry. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all the platforms of social media. You can find more about our program at lccstars.com, and donations to our baseball program can be made at the same site. See you next time.